Log Talk Radio.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is...
What?
My name is...
Dr. Dre.
Yeah.
Robert Ford.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Yeah, we're coming back at you, people.
Yeah, I'm sorry, y'all. It's my fault.
Big Q sobered up and he ready to go.
Oh my God. So awful. He got people think I gotta
go
to
have fun and enjoy it, man.
I do not have to go to the meetings.
Enjoy it, man. I had your tickets last week, right behind home plate. So I feel you, man. Free beer, free alcohol. It was fun, man. You better suck up on those tickets, man. Enjoy it. That's what it's all about.
I didn't have one drop of drink while I was at that game. Now after the game I did, okay. But not during the game.
Okay. It is all good. Bam, America, we are officially talking sports with the 12th. I want to welcome you again on this Thursday, June the 20th, officially NBA draft night. We are going to recap a lot of things. We've got a lot of things to talk about, as we always do. But without further ado, let me introduce the posse, the crew, the guys who I would always trade up into the first round to get, if you will. So let's get this party started. Shut up with my man, even though Rob is talking a lot of noise to Mr. JQ traveling. Appreciate you joining in. How you feeling this evening, bro?
I'm good, man. I got a little rest today. That was one of the crazier travel adventures I've had to Minneapolis, just in terms of traveling airport wise and flight wise to Minneapolis back and forth. But got honored and blessed to go to a 17 inning game. I tapped out after 13 between the Twins and the Red Sox.
Wow.
Target Field is a beautiful with 17 innings. It's a beautiful stadium. I got to go ahead and check that off the list to see a pretty good baseball game between two good teams. So I can't complain too much. So I'm here to really talk to sports, man. How you doing?
Good, man. Add it to the bucket list of things to do, man. Obviously, I don't know if you want to hit like all the parks and everything like that, man. So good experience for sure, man. So, yeah. All right. We'll
That's
definitely recap your trip, anything you want to talk about, as we always like to do as the show goes along. And let's kick it out to my other fella, Mr. Robert Ford, who, as we always like to say, he is a habitual line stepper. Robert Ford, how you feeling, bro?
Robert, habitual line stepper Ford, isn't it?
Right, you always be stirring up some stuff, man.
Oh man, hey, just gotta have a little fun, man. We gotta make it entertaining as always, of course. But just enjoying all the wheeling and dealing of the NBA draft. So it's been very intriguing. I know we're gonna get to that in a bit. But other than that, everything's going great. Loving life.
Nice. And West Coasters, we'll check with you guys in a quick second too. Curtis and Gary, we appreciate you guys joining in the call as always. So we can't wait to get your thoughts as far as what's happening. Looks like the Trailblazers have made some good picks, man. I'm sure you're going to talk about Bobo. I can't wait to hear Gary and Curtis's thoughts about that too. But before we get started, let's throw the numbers out as we always do. The numbers called the show. It's a 424-243-9519 is the number. Follow us on the Twitter, as they say, at the number 12. THMAN Sports, which stands for 12th Man Sports. Last but not least, we are on Facebook, facebook.com/talkingsports with the 12th Man, or if you put 12th Man Sports, you'll find us as well. So anyway, interesting how the first topic out the gate is about the Saints here, but again, I'll indulge Rob, and we'll talk about that as well too. So should Michael Thomas be paid like a top five wide receiver in the game? Go ahead, Rob.
It's funny how you never see that when I start off the show with Golden State or the Lakers or something like that.
But I'm talking about it's topical. I'm saying it's topical with the NBA draft is right now. And again, we're starting with some football, which is fine. I'm just saying it's interesting how we start off with the topic at the same. So it's all good. I'll let you have your moment.
That gives us a little bit more time to see some of these second round picks too. So I planned that perfectly. But anyway, getting back to Michael Thomas and the Saints, absolutely. I mean, I think Michael Thomas is definitely one of the top three wide receivers in the game right now. If you look at his catch percentage, he has the highest catch percentage of any player in the NFL. Passes thrown his way, he catches 85% of them. The next highest player is 81%, so he's got a 4% gap for passes thrown his way and how many of them that he catches. And then in the first 3 years in the league, he's got the most catches in NFL history for a player in the first 3 years in the league. So definitely, obviously, he's going into his last year of the contract, and the Saints as well as Michael Thomas want to get that deal done, hopefully prior to training camp. But definitely should be paid like one of the top three wide receivers in the game. And the Saints have made it known they're comfortable making him the highest paid wide receiver in the game.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a, you know, when your contract comes up and once you see Antonio Brown, what he got, and OBJ, what he got, and, you know, you also know what Julio's going to do. It's a no-brainer. I think I texted to you, 321 receptions, I believe, in the first 3 years. I mean, that is just ludicrous. You're averaging over 100 receptions a year. And I know he's got Drew Brees. He's got a fantastic offense that allows him to produce to that.
Yep.
Yeah, but it allows him to produce to that level. But he's still, like you said, he's got to catch those balls, and 85% of those that he's grabbing, Michael Thomas is a stealer. And everybody knows that I'm biased. I'm not a Saints fan, but I am an Ohio State fan, and I've loved Michael Thomas for a long time now. But he's actually gone to New Orleans and done everything that he was supposed to do, and then some. So it's all about when your contract is coming up due, and you see the other wide receivers that you are outproducing, you know, getting paid, you want to get paid better than them. I can't be mad at him and his camp for that. I believe that's part of the reason why you don't resign Ingram, because you know you got to earmark some of that money from Michael Thomas, and you got to go ahead and get it done. And I think they will. When you know you have a transcendent wide receiver on your roster, you have to take care of him, and I really think he's put himself into that category.
Yeah, and you're talking about a guy, he's not a burner by any stretch of the imagination, but he's just a baller. And he's a physical specimen. He's got great leaping ability. He goes up and, you know, he catches the football at the highest point. So he's a do-everything wide receiver. They line him up all over the field. Very smart guy, too. But like I said, he's not a burner. He's not a guy, and that's probably why he lasted to the second round of the draft, because he doesn't have that top-end speed. But, you know, he was a guy that made Brandon Cooks expendable for the Saints, because even as a rookie, he was more dominant than Brandon Cooks.
There's always a place for a Michael Irvin in the league. And, I mean, he's one of those guys. Michael Irvin was not a burner, but he always was able to go and get you big catches and big spots, and I think that's really who he is. And I know it's blasphemous to put him in that kind of conversation right now, but to your point, he's not a burner, but you don't always have to be a burner to be an effective wide receiver, and he's shown that he is.
Blasphemous Cowboys fans, what do you say about that?
Keyshawn Johnson's nephew too.
Mm-hmm. Another one, not a burner, but effective.
Curtis, Gary, where y'all at?
I'm driving up to Gary's house now, and I'm on I-84. I just passed by the downtown homeless camps at about 70 miles an hour. The Cowboys, you know, the Cowboys should not worry about nobody else but themselves. The Cowboys cannot worry about anybody else but themselves. They're in the pocket of getting to the Super Bowl, and it's going to be all on their quarterback to prove himself and get that team to the Super Bowl. And they got the ingredients to do it. All they got to do is do it. Gary?
Well, you know, you were talking about speedsters, and Michael Irvin definitely was, but he just seemed to be one of those guys, you know, at the right place at the right time. But I think the Saints are going to be a really one of the top teams in the NFC this year. You know, they have a great quarterback, and you know, with the talent around them, you know, they're going to be hard to beat. They always are.
Gary, are you trying to get cool with Robert or something like that? What's going on, man?
No,
man,
no.
Sometimes
no,
you just
I'm
gotta
not.
Speak the truth, man. You gotta speak the truth sometimes.
Here we go.
You know, they're a good team.
No, they're a good
you
team.
You know, they're in a weak conference, you know, a weak division, but they're a good team.
Okay.
All right, say we're in a weak division. What does that say about the rest of the teams in the division?
I don't call the NFC South weak. I think the Falcons are decent. I think the Panthers can always bounce back when you got Cam Newton. I don't know if I would call that weak, but I hear you.
No, I don't know. I don't think I would call it weak either.
Yeah, I mean, we had a lot
no,
of.
No, I wouldn't either. I just wanted to highlight some a little bit.
I think Tampa still has a ways to go, but you know, anytime you got a division with Drew Brees, Matt Ryan, and Cam Newton, I don't know if I would call a division weak, but I still consider
one,
the Saints a favorite. Still consider the Saints a favorite
one,
in division. Though.
There's only one real weak division, and that's the division the Patriots are in, and that's why the Patriots got all the records they've
yep.
got. Because they're in a horrible division.
Yep. I agree with that.
Good call. Good call. Good call. Curtis is on it. All right, guys. Speaking of divisions in the West Coast here, let's talk about more or less about what should we expect of the Raiders. What should the Raiders expect for this season? The Raiders are probably thinking the same thing. John Gruden's going to call in and listen for you guys, too. But, no, seriously, shout-out to my boy Eric. He's a huge Raiders fan. The Raiders are actually on hard knocks. So, believe it or not, gentlemen, I think I will definitely be tuned in because that's a very entertaining, team to kind of watch and kind of see what's happening in the transition to Las Vegas, all that fun stuff. So, what say you about that, JQ? No, I'm going to start West Coast.
Yeah.
West Coast actually start with this. Yeah, go ahead. Let's West Coast start with this. Go ahead, West Coast. What are your thoughts on that?
Absolutely.
Go ahead, Curtis. Curtis is on, I guess.
Okay. Well, you know, Gruden's all Hollywood. Gruden is good TV. And they got those guys from Pittsburgh, and they got Bonte Perfect. Oh, yeah, there could be some comedy here. There could be some tragedy here. It's going to be nuts, but it's the Vegas thing. And eyeballs and selling tickets. They should do a great show to sell tickets in Vegas.
They'll definitely be a team to watch. They'll be a team that, Gruden's a no-nonsense guy. He's gonna get those guys moving in the grooving out there, and he's going to expect them to, to play ball, to be solid. And if they're not, he's going to implode on them. He's just one of those guys that he'll accept nothing but, solid, hard-working play with no nonsense. They're going to have a little of that, but he won't like it.
Wow, Boston gets Carson Edwards. Wow.
So my thing for the Raiders are they are in an uphill battle because I really think that San Diego and Kansas City are still the class of that division. When I look at Oakland, is Derek Carr going to be that guy, that franchise quarterback? And do they have that set of triplets that we talk about? I really like them getting Josh Jacobs in that first round from Alabama. I think that's a really good pick for them. So you put Josh Jacobs, and then you also have Antonio Brown. It's going to be incumbent on Carr to, go back to a couple of years ago where he was almost playing to MVP-like level caliber to bring that troop forward. So for me, I agree with you. I think they're very intriguing to watch. I can't pick them to win the AFC West. I think they have two teams right now I feel like it's just better than them, two teams that made the playoffs. But, if you get Carr to go back to playing like he was a couple years ago and you give him a young running back, a stud running back in Josh Jacobs, and a proven wide receiver in Antonio Brown, I mean, they could win some more games than people give them credit for. I think they're definitely going to be one of those teams that if you have the NFL, red zone and the I forget the other part of it, the Drake TV package, that you might be one of those teams that you just tune into to watch them play because they're going to always be in competitive games coming down to the wire, especially in that late window on the West Coast. That Raiders team is going to be fun to watch, but I just can't say that they're going to be a playoff team quite yet. They've got some serious competition in that division. Sunday Packers is what I mean. I'm going to take a Sunday Packers.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I agree. I think the Raiders are going to be very competitive, though. I think that's going to be a football team that is going to give you a tough game week in and week out. But I could easily see them being a middle-of-the-pack kind of team this year, 7-9, 8-8. But I like the Chargers to win that division this year. I actually think the Chiefs, you know, even with Pat Mahomes, I think he's going to take a slight step back. I think they're still the second-best team in that division. But I like the Chargers to win that division with their defense and definitely enough offense as well. So I think the Chargers are the favorite. But I like the Oakland being that third team in that division this year. I think Denver will, you know, be their last place team. But I think for Oakland, for me, I want to see the offensive line get back to where it was 2 to 3 years ago. And I think that could be the difference. You got Jacobs, you got Antonio Brown, you got the quarterback. At least you hope that you can get the quarterback that that you had a few years ago. I think they're a 7-9, 8-8 competitive football team this year that's ascending up in the right direction by the time they get to Las Vegas.
It's only if that Oakland defense comes to play. I think that offense can score enough points, but I'm not sold on that Oakland defense quite yet. I think that's going to be their Achilles heel.
Yeah, defense and offensive line is where they have to get better.
Mm-hmm.
Good call. And like I said, it's going to be a make or break year for Derek Carr too, man. Because again, we weren't kind of sold on him. You know, all the rumors out there that John Gruden was interested in getting the number one pick, but he kind of avoided it for now. So again, you kind of see how they drafted. They're like, all right, Derek, this is your year, man. So again, you know, we'll see how that happens. And I think, like you said, JQ, out of it's definitely make or break. To see what's happening with the defense, if they had enough talent, they added it in the draft. So we'll see if your boy, oh my gosh, I'm forgetting the Mike Mayock is going to do his thing as a GM, man. So interesting to say the least, man. Man, some good picks here. This is great. All right, we're going to keep us moving here. We're going to kind of switch over to the NBA here. And let's talk about this. I know we were kind of making some jokes about this earlier, about the report on CP3 and James Harden relationship. And is it fake news? I know I was talking about that with JQ. Was it real? And, you know, again, folks slapping hands and huddles and stuff like that. Is that part of the competitive nature of the game, or is it really like something really happening? Austin Rivers thinks there's nothing happening, but what say you on this, Rob?
Well, I think obviously there's more to this story. I really do. I don't think it's to the point where they can't play together anymore, but I do think there's some – there's some heated issues going on between those two guys right there. Obviously, the two guys that both like the ball in their hand and things of that nature too. And the Rockets are stuck because nobody's going to take on, even as good as Chris Paul is, no one in the league is going to take on Chris Paul at that salary with 3 years left. So they can forget it. And they don't want to trade James Harden. So not even the Lakers. Going to be, and Rob Pelinka's dumbass, they're still not going to make that trade. And they're not going to make that trade either. But 3 years, over $100-some million. I mean, at Chris Paul's age, still a good player, but he's not the player worth that contract right now. So the Rockets are kind of stuck. They have to find a way to mend their relationship and get those guys on the same page. The West is available next year. Golden State is going to be without Durant and Klay Thompson. The West is anybody's game next year, and the Rockets have to get those two guys back on the same page some kind of way, and they possibly can have a chance to win the Western Conference next year. But it won't happen if those two guys can't get on the same page. And right now there's some where there's smoke, there's fire.
Yep.
There's some fire in their locker room between those two guys right now. But they have to get on the same page. Like I said, the Rockets are stuck with him. No one. It's different if he had 1 year left on that contract and his contract was expiring. But he's got 3 years left at that salary. No one is taking on that contract from Chris Paul. No one.
Buckle up, Buttercup.
I totally agree. And they're going to have to figure it out. And we talked about it a little bit pre-show. They're going to have to figure out that we're going to have to play a different brand of basketball that may work for us in the regular season when you're playing a team that's playing two games in 3 nights, 3 games in 4 nights, where James Harden can just be James Harden. He can play iso ball, and he can go nuts and beat the team single-handedly. But when you play one team for 7 games, that iso ball is proven. Right now it's just not working, especially when you play Golden State. Now, mind you, I don't think Golden State even makes the playoffs next year, and I'm just going to put that out there. With no Klay and no KD, I just don't think they make the playoffs next year because I think they're going to lose Cousins as well. But that being said, you have other teams that are chomping to bit to get into that top eight in the Western Conference. And if you're Houston, they have to find a way. They have a fantastic backcourt. We talk about Utah getting a Conley pairing with Donovan Mitchell and saying how great that backcourt is. Well, Houston really does have a great backcourt as well. But they have to figure out a way to make that work. And all the things that we said about could it work moving forward when they got Chris Paul, and then they made it look so seamless and easy moving forward, like, oh, well, they can do that. But then it hasn't translated right into the postseason. And then it manifested itself in a major way in this past postseason. They have to find a way to be able to share the basketball, because the only way they can get any better is to trade Clint Capella. And Clint Capella is the only rim protector and rim runner you have on that team. So if you take him away to get a Jimmy Butler, you still have to figure out a way to get all three of those guys the ball and share the ball in crunch time to make teams pay and not just sit and watch James Harden do step back 3-pointers going 1-on-3, coming off the pick and roll in the middle of the court. It's the same thing we saw with Kawhi when he missed some of those shots. That pick and roll in the middle of the court doesn't work in the playoffs when you're trying to win a game. And that's all Houston has been relying on. And Tucker has made some timely 3-pointers from the corner, but they have to find a way to share the basketball better in the postseason in games that matter, games 5, game 6, game 7, to make that work between the two of them. But once you saw James Harden slap Chris Paul's hands, like, I don't care how many commercials they make, they're going to do whatever they need to do to make some money. But in terms of winning championships on the court in that relationship, they have to find a way to share the basketball in crunch time to make that work for Houston.
Yeah, and trading Clint Capella will be a huge mistake for the Rockets, because he's a big reason why their defense has gotten so much better here over the last couple of years. He is that guy that's, as you mentioned, Jake, he's their rim protector. And they have not only – they've been winning the last couple of years because of their defense. Their defense has been one of the top echelon defenses in the league, and Clint Capella has been a big reason and a big part of that to protect the rim, especially with James Harden, who's only an average defender at best. And so they – yeah, exactly. And so trading him – will be a huge mistake, because, like I said, you look at the history of Tony here, and his teams mostly have been offensive teams. But he's found a team that he's been able to play some pretty good defense, and the Clinkups are the main reason for that.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be hilarious if the Golden State got the 8 seed and played the Rockets at the number 1 seed. That'd be hilarious, man. Just saying, I'm just throwing it out there. That'd be great. Just to kind of get some
not gonna
get
do
back,
it.
That'd be hilarious. That'd be hilarious. West Coast, what you got? So you got anything to say on that topic? Somebody dropped. Who dropped?
Well, who is the problem there? Is it Chris Paul or is it Harden? Didn't Chris Paul have some issues didn't he have some issues in
everywhere?
So, and you can't get rid of them. I'm glad.
Nope.
I hope it's just a crap show the whole year. I hope they're arguing and fighting and no chemistry and open the door for the other team that's got a shot out there, the Portland Trailblazers. You guys didn't mention. Very frustrated with that, by the way.
What do you mean? What do you mean?
Yeah, we got to see what the Blazers do, and I hope they do some smart stuff. The Blazers got to stay away from these small guards that they always fall in love with. And one thing we saw in Portland in the NBA Finals, we saw how valuable it is to have a front court that can dominate. And, of course, Golden State was hurt, and they were hurt bad. But there was Tremont Green with big, bad front court guys. Tremont Green is not really a four. He's not really a forward. And he's a small forward.
He's Charles Barkley.
Tremont Green. He's not good enough to be the enforcer. And if Portland had an enforcer, Portland would have did a lot better in that series instead of getting swept. But with the Harden thing, they need a coach that can figure out how those guys can have motion. They need a motion offense. And they need, you know, they need some variety. And because they play so much ISO ball, they got in the playoffs. They went 0-27. And everybody's just sitting on the ISO. And the other thing about how long these seasons are, these guys jacking up these threes all year long. At the end of the year, their legs are not as good underneath them. And they don't have another option. And they didn't have another option. And they got dusted again. It's time, you know, what's the definition of not having any intelligence? Doing the same old thing over and over again and failing. Change it up. Motion that out there. Yeah, you guys move. Move. Set picks. Move. And both teams that were in the championship this year, guess what they were doing? They were doing a lot of motion ball. And you were seeing that ball flying all over the court with both teams. And I think that's where the basketball is going. And with Clint Capella and Boogie Cousins, there's a possibility this game has passed those kind of guys by.
Hey, Ludacris, try to tell you, move.
Get out the way.
Get out the way.
Nice. We got 33 minutes here, gentlemen. We're moving right along on the show. And, you know, like I said, we're going to keep this moving here. I know that kind of spawned off another, like, definite tangent regarding what's happening with CP3 and James Harden, and we talked about Portland and everything else. So, way to bring that back. I think the consensus is that they're going to have to kind of like man up and try to how to figure out how to make things work, man, because ain't nobody happening. And you know, you hope they can figure some things out, because now is definitely the time, as we have all commented, that the West is wide open. So you better get your shot in now and see who kind of takes it too. So. All good. And I think it's exciting for the NBA to kind of see the league kind of everything kind of balances out here. The next thing we're going to talk about is what is happening to the Celtics. Man, you talk about kind of a free fall. Yeah, it depends on if you're a Celtic, you know, hater or Celtic lover, man. Obviously, from the JQ perspective, probably loving it. You know, Kyrie's gone. You know, obviously Horford's gone. You know, what looks to be a promising team looks like they're in shambles right now, too. So, and I'll say this for Rob, unless you want to comment, too. Is it coaching that's happening? What's happening? Or just like, you know, expectations falling? So, I'll at least start with that, JQ, and then we'll kind of finish up for sure, man. So, yeah, go ahead.
I don't think it's coaching. I don't think it's necessarily expectations is not because of the coaching. I think you have a young versus old thing that happened with the Celtics. Those guys made a run when Tatum and Brown and Rozier and Smart were leading the way. And now you're going to say, okay, we retired Hayward when he was hurt, you know, ridiculously hurt in that first game against Cleveland, and he was out. And then Kyrie was with them, and then he was hurt. And they were able to take that mantle and almost make it to the finals. So now you bring those two guys back in, and the young guys are still looking like, what are y'all talking about? Why do I have to sacrifice minutes and not do what I was doing last year when we made it all the way almost to the finals? Like, give us another year of maturation and stay with us. But you have to incorporate Kyrie and Gordon Hayward back into it. And again, Al Horford was a part of that. But I think it's just a divide of young versus old, where they not have been able to bridge that gap of being able to make that work between those two factions within the locker room. So now you're looking at, you know, Boston misplaying their, overplaying their hand. Well, we can keep Horford and Kyrie and get somebody else to trade one of those young guys. But, oh, wait a minute, those guys don't want to come here. And Horford and Kyrie are disenchanted with what's happening here. So now they want out. So now when you could have traded Kyrie and Horford, and again, you're not going to get face value for them, but if you can get 75 cents on a dollar for them, then you do it if you're reading your locker room right. But they didn't read that locker room right, and it has not worked out to this point. So now you're basically, for them, they're almost in a rebuild, so to speak, of you're losing Kyrie, you're losing Al Horford. You're not stuck with them because they're not bad players, but now it's about Brown and Tatum, and you have to now build around them. But you had tradable assets to get some other value for them in this last season in the NBA, and now you can't do it. Now you're going to lose them unless you try to do a sign and trade, which everybody's like, I'm not signing trading with you because why should I do that? I can sign them outright and not have to give anything for them. So that's Boston's problem right now for me, is that they were unable to bring those two kind of young and old factions together and make it work seamlessly. And now you're out of those veterans, and now you're stuck with, okay, I like my young guys, but now I'm forced to build around these young guys because I'm going to lose these veterans, and I didn't get anything for them. And now that window of us having these assets and being able to build around them and have this super team out east just not has materialized. So for me, that's really what's happened with Boston, is that they overplayed their hand, and they just were unable to control it. And I don't think that's a Brad Stevens thing. I think that was just a personality thing between a Kyrie and a Tatum and a Brown, where they were like, dude, we made it this far without you. Now you come back in here talking this noise. We don't necessarily need that. And Al Horford is like, you know, Al Horford is all no frills. He was out of Atlanta. When Atlanta had all the drama with Josh Smith and them, now he's out of the drama. When Boston has drama, Al Horford is a no frills, no drama kind of dude. I'm going somewhere else where I don't have to deal with this. I'm good enough to play for a contender and to contend for a championship. I'm up. And that's Boston's problem.
Yeah. I think a big problem of it, Kyrie Irving just was not a great leader for that basketball team. And he's proven to be, he's almost becoming that point guard that's not a, you know, in Cleveland he had LeBron, and LeBron liked to have the basketball in his hands. So he had the opportunity to play off the ball a lot. He didn't have that opportunity as much in Boston. Yeah, exactly. And I don't think he's going to be great in that role. He's got to have a point guard or someone, a big like a LeBron, that can control the basketball and control the pace. All reports indicate that it looked like he's going to Brooklyn. But to me, he'd probably be smart to go back and join LeBron. I think that would fit his game a little bit better, having somebody like that can control the pace, control the basketball, and can get him in a place where he can get his shots. But I think ultimately he was not a great leader for that team. And in some ways, I still think Boston is still going to be one of the top teams in the East. When you talk about Brown, when you talk about Tatum, when you talk about Gordon Hayward, and now you're getting Terry Rozier back in that role, and Terry Rozier is an elite on-the-ball defender in this game. And he's going to know his role, unlike Kyrie, on that team. Obviously, you got a big hole in the middle with Al Horford. That's going to be, you know, I think it'll be harder to replace him than it will be to replace Kyrie Irving. They will be fine without Kyrie Irving. I think that's an addition by subtraction with Kyrie Irving. Yep. But the hole was, how do you replace Al Horford? But I think on the wings, I mean, they're still set. Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, Gordon Haywood, they're going to be fine on the wings. They're going to be fine with Terry Rozier. They just need to make sure they can find a way to fill that gaping hole. I know they've been trying to talk to the Rockets about Clint Capella, but the Rockets would be stupid, as we mentioned earlier, to make that trade. But they will still be a competitive basketball team, in my opinion. I still think they can be a playoff team. I don't know if they'll be a top four team in the East, but they have an opportunity to still be a playoff team, maybe somewhere around that 5 or 6 spot.
West Coast.
Great.
Well, I think that, you know, if you're giving, you know, either praise or you're giving criticism to a team, it starts with your front office. You know, Danny Ainge is the one that's put this together. So he's also got to take some of the blame and some of the responsibility for this. You know, going into this, they do this deep, in-depth research on these players. You know, they had to know that there was, you know, issues there, you know, going in, you bring in a talent. You know, what made Kyrie so good is, just like Robert said, you know, it's around a player like LeBron, you know, so he's not double-teamed anymore. You know, he's shooting open jump shots. He's getting layups because everybody's worrying about, you know, the best player in his era, arguably. So it may be to his advantage to go to a team like the Lakers, although I think his ego is going to get the best of him, because I think he still believes that he can be that guy. He can lead his own team. And
he was the MVP.
I don't see it. I think LeBron made him better, a lot better than he is.
And you know what, Boston, and you guys touched on it. What you got to think about if you're Boston, how do you deal with that boy in Milwaukee? And if you, you know, you've got to, and that's what Danny Ainge is going to have to do with what he's dealt with now and the holes he's got now. But they knew, they kind of knew Kyrie was only going to be a one-year rental. Kyrie really didn't want to be there. And I think they knew that, and I think Danny knew that, so that's not too much of a surprise. And these young guys, they got it coming along. But their issue is, and everybody's issue is, Mutombo, or whatever his name is in Milwaukee, if you're not going to be able to contain him,
Giannis,
you're going to have problems in that East. So Giannis in the East is the standard if you're going to get out of the East and get into the championship. Funny thing, we saw the boy in Toronto,
Kawhi.
We saw Kawhi taking up Mutombo at times in that championship. And Kawhi was doing an admirable job on him. And, you know, you got to hand it to him for that. And that's why two-time MVP in the finals. But, yeah, Boston, Horford was a surprise. But Horford couldn't even help him with Mutombo. So, you know, the only thing Boston has to think about is how we deal with Mutombo.
Okay. So let's I'm just going to say it's interesting because whenever you're looking at Kyrie, I definitely think that he has an ego, as you said, for sure, Gary, and the fact that he was like, you know what, I can do better by myself. And that actually sometimes you think the grass is greener on the other side, and then you actually, you're like, oh, man, you know. So, again, everything kind of collapsed, and then that wasn't the best situation for sure. But I guess we'll see how that plays out because I think they both fit off each other, both him and LeBron. That was a pretty good relationship because, again, I think they both needed each other. There's some times whenever Kyrie sits, you know, made some amazing shots, did his thing, and then obviously LeBron did his stuff as well too. So that was kind of the almost the best situation for both those players. So they kind of left, and, you know, that's whatever the thing went downhill. But, JQ, speaking of that, so we're going to talk about this next topic as far as other free agents that the Lakers should go after is Kawhi. Should they look at, as Rob said, maybe a Kyrie or something like that, or what are your thoughts about that that topic?
So, I mean, I think at this point Kawhi is a non-starter for the Lakers. He's pretty much made it known that he wants to be on the team as a dude. He's not playing with LeBron. And for everybody listening,
there's a yacht for him, though. There's a yacht for him, though.
Yeah.
Make that right. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but I just don't think that's what he's going to do. I think Kawhi's the point, like you were saying. A two-time MVP, now a two-time champ. He's not going to go play second or maybe third fiddle. And I mean, his talent is obviously office otherwise that he's not that level. But now when you have LeBron and AD, is he going to want to go do that for just say, okay, I'm going to win cheap championships by being third fiddle and take less money? Because as you're talking about it, they have $23, $24 million now because of the way that structure, that AD trade has come down. They don't have the ability to get another max slot. They also have to have the ability to fill out the roster. So for me, would I love to have Kyrie? Absolutely. But Kyrie's not coming for less than max money. We can go get max money somewhere else. So if I'm a Lakers fan, and just outside being a Lakers fan, but just looking at it objectively as a basketball fan, you got LeBron, you got AD. You purposely held off of giving Kyle Kuzma in that deal to New Orleans. So you're saying, and we've all seen Kyle Kuzma, what he can do. Can he be the third fiddle to LeBron? And AD, I think he's built for that at this point right now, that we can be a great third fiddle for those two guys. So if you got $23 or $24 million left, why not take that money and spread it around three or four other guys? You got a 1, 2, and 3 in LeBron, AD, and Cal. You've got Filler left on the roster from LA that's going to fill out 7 through 12, really. Those middle areas with that $23 million, is if I was a Lakers fan or a GM, I'm trying to fill that with that money and spread it around and say, hey, can I get three guys for $8 million a year that can two of them can be a shooter, one of them can be a shooter and a defensive stopper, and one of them can be somewhat of a rebounder, rim protector, whatnot, and you look and you evaluate guys on the market, you sit out that first and that secondary wave of free agency, and you look at that last second to third wave of free agency, okay, this is where we honestly are. We've got these three guys in the front. We've got these other guys in the back. We've got to fill out this middle. Let's get 2 to 3 guys for $8 million, excuse me, a piece, and fill out our roster and then really be a legitimate contender. If you go get a third guy and take all the money for that third guy, and now you've got that third guy, AD, LeBron, and Kuzma, love it from the top four. But everything from 5 backwards is all really weak. So if anybody gets hurt, or you talk about these extended playoff series where those guys, those bench guys that always come up big in one of those games that you don't anticipate coming up big, have to come up big. You're talking about a Caruso and a Bonga and a Mo Wagner. Like those guys, you're basically relying on to come up big at some point during a playoff series. I don't have a whole lot of faith in that. So I'd rather take that $23 to $24 million and fill out 4 through 6 as opposed to picking up that third guy and pushing Kuzma to the fourth guy and then basically being stuck with everybody else that's left on the roster. That's just me.
Yeah, because when you look at that roster right now, they only have 6 players on the whole roster. And those other 3 guys, I don't think anybody on this show or anybody in the world even knows who they are. Maybe Mo Wagner from Michigan. But other than that,
yeah,
I don't think anybody else knows who those guys are. So they have to fill out that roster. And I know I mentioned to you guys prior to the draft, the Lakers are trying to buy draft picks. They haven't been able to buy one yet in this draft. And they need to fill out that roster. And if they can get – I mean, obviously you're not going to get Kawhi Leonard. I think Leonard right now is going to come down to either he stays in Toronto or as he goes to the Clippers. To me, those are only 2 options that he has on the table for him that he would – are going to listen to this in the next week or two. You might can get in the game with Kyrie Irving, but I think even if you're getting if you're a Lakers fan, your hope is that you don't give Kyrie Irving the max if he does come. And obviously you want to see get him at a better deal and then maybe fill out the rest of their roster. But JQ's philosophy is right on. The Lakers are going to have to find, at this point, they need to fill out their roster and get some depth with some role players. Some good role players on that ball club, if they're going to have any chance at competing. And, I mean, I don't know if that's bringing back guys like a Rondo on a 1-year deal, you know, some players like that that you're going to be able to find. And, I mean, that's what they're going to have to do in order to make this team a championship contender. Obviously, having LeBron and AD kind of puts them in a game, but they still need more depth on this roster if they're going to have a chance to compete. I don't think those 2 guys alone are going to get them there.
Yeah, you've got to find 3 to 4 guys to get between $6 to $10 million a piece to fill out for that $23 to $24 million. Like you said, they got 6 to get to 10 or 11. You have to be able to do that. And I think you can do that in this NBA, but you just have to be able to say, okay, we made our splash during the trade season, so we can't go get this other guy. But when these other guys get a lot of money, then you have other guys like, well, I didn't get that. So they have to settle for some of these $6 to $10 million 1-year deals. Those are the guys that you have to target and sell them on, okay, playing with them and just keep mixing and matching moving forward over the next couple of years because you don't have the ability to do anything else. You just can't go get another star and then have those 3 and Kuzma and nothing else and feel like you're going to win the title. That's just not going to work. We've seen in the playoffs where role players have come up big, Van Vliet and Siakam, you know, those kind of guys, you know, they come in, and then Chris Middleton from Milwaukee where – and that's crazy. They're talking about giving him the max money. That's crazy. I would never give Chris Middleton max money. But, you know, those Bledsoes, those kind of guys, P.J. Tucker, those guys you have to have on your roster, and you can only get them if you divvy up that money and get 2 or 3 of them. You just can't go get 1 other guy and say, you know what, we in the ball game, we're going to win it. As much as I would love that as a Lakers fan, I just don't think that's reality.
Yep.
Let's
totally
care about the Lakers. Yeah.
We all hate the Lakers, but I will. I mean, you got LeBron and AD on your team. It's not going to be hard to find guys that want to come there and play. That's just the bottom line. But we all hate them.
We don't all hate them. But you have to find a David West. Like Golden State found David West. He declined an $11 million option to play for Golden State for 1 year for $1 million, I believe it was. He took a $10 million pay cut to want to go play for a good team that he thought was going to win a title. You have to be able to find those kind of guys if you're the Lakers to be able to compete for a championship next year. That's what you're going to have to do. That's where you are, cap-wise.
Tomorrow's ready for you, JQ.
What I meant was we all hate the Lakers except for you on this show.
No, thank you for qualifying.
Yes, we do.
That's funny, Rob.
Yeah, yeah, we got. There's a ton of signs here. There's a ton of signs here in Portland, Oregon, that with this beat LA, it's beat LA, and it's beat LA up here on every single sport we come through this town. Beat LA, but the way it's looking, and if they can figure it out, and just like you said, I don't think they're going to sign another max. I hear they're interested in that. Jumbo Elliott or whatever his name is, but they and I wonder how much LeBron's going to get involved with this. They got to figure out who they want around. They got two top ten players on that team, and there's not another team in the NBA that has two top ten players in the league on their one team. So they're set up. At the moment, they're set up for success.
Yeah, now that KD is hurt, the Golden State was the only other team that had that going for them. You're right.
Yeah, they are set up. Yeah, they are set up to come out this West. But, I mean, right now they're not. But if they can figure that out and they can do a good job with backfilling that roster, they are set up to win the West. And as quiet as it's kept, LeBron has probably got the most rest that he ever has in his whole NBA career. He should be well rested and very geared up because he's got a chance. And he's got a chance for another ring.
And
come on, Curtis. Don't get JQ all hyped up.
AD got a lot of rest. He's been doing shit for New Orleans. So, I mean, both of them got a lot of rest. That's a true statement.
Wow. Oh, my goodness. Wow.
I'm not lying, though. It's true, right?
You're not. It's just hilarious.
Definitely
true.
And they both got to stay healthy. If one of those players goes down for any extended time,
they're done.
It'll be just like this year.
They're done.
It's gonna take
you're 100% correct.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah,
I agree with you. They're done.
We're going to keep the train rolling here. But, Rob, we got about 12 minutes or so. How much time did you want to do for the NBA wrap-up, draft recap? Do you want to do, 10 minutes, 5 minutes in the show? Because we got, two more topics got to hit, unless you're trying to time them. I wanted to kind of check with you real quick about that.
However long it takes. So, I mean,
uh-oh.
I don't know if
we
keep it live or
if we
keep it for the OT. But yeah, go ahead.
It does live or OT. It doesn't matter. We can tease it with the OT if we're not ready to get to it yet.
All right, good deal. All right, so we're gonna let the
Bowl look like he finally got picked.
Oh, here we go. Look at that. Oh,
Miami.
There you go.
Where did
Miami.
You go?
Miami.
He went to Miami.
Oh God. Bye-bye, Whiteside.
44th.
Last guy in the green room.
You can only hope.
Bye-bye, Whiteside. He go ahead and pack up his locker room. It's over.
Whiteside picked up his option. He's staying with the Heat at least next season.
Shit, they can still trade him.
Wow. All right. Bobo, there you go. Look at that. Son of a new boy. That's crazy.
That's
awesome.
What I'm hoping here, now Pritchard got out of the draft and he's coming back to Oregon. I kind of hope that other forward that Oregon has that signed up for the draft, I hope he takes his butt out and comes back to Oregon. Oregon's got a great chance of winning that Pac-12 again next year. They got a really good shot of winning the Pac-12 in basketball again next year.
Yeah, because those are the other 11 teams in that conference is horrible.
Trash.
He just called Oregon the Patriots of the Pac-12. All good.
Yeah, but if they deflate this ball, we won't be able to balance it very well.
Let's talk about I love it. I love it. That's good. That was good. Let's talk about it real quick. We're showing a lot of love to JQ here. And I guess the question is Anthony Davis putting too much pressure on himself by wanting to play? Well, actually, Rob will talk about this. When you're putting too much pressure on yourself by wanting to play for the Lakers, I guess we'll let Rob start and then kind of let that happen with JQ as well. I mean, West Coast. So go ahead, Rob.
In this situation, I'm going to say no, because he's got a guy like LeBron there to help kind of guide him along. So he's got that veteran leader, a guy that's, you know, been through the trenches, a guy that's been in the finals, who's won three championships. So I think that kind of, you know, and LeBron still has something left in the tank. He still has something to prove. So I think that takes some pressure off of AD in this situation from going to play in the big market where a lot is going to be expected of him. So I think having LeBron is going to help him out tremendously, as opposed to if he was going there to be the guy right from the get-go. So I think that's going to kind of help guide him along. So I don't think from a pressure standpoint it's going to be all on him. But as Gary mentioned, both of those two guys got to stay healthy. So he's going to need LeBron to stay healthy as well. And LeBron, of course, is getting to his mid-30s right now too.
Well, LeBron's going to need AD to stay healthy, because if we want to talk, be real about it, AD is more of the injury concern than LeBron is. I mean, we can go off of last year where LeBron got hurt, but if we talk about the career path of who's got hurt the most in their careers, it's really been more Anthony Davis. I agree that there is really no pressure, and we keep forgetting about Kyle Kuzma. He's the forgotten man in this conversation. We say LeBron and AD, and of course Kyle Kuzma is not a star part of those two. I'm not saying that. When you have when you have a third person that can get their own shot and showing the flashes that Kyle Kuzma has shown, he doesn't always have to have LeBron always to be on to do that. He also has another person that can create his own shot and give him the ball. And AD with his ability. Yeah, but I mean, no, shut up. With his ability also to be able, AD that is, to stretch to the three-point line to where AD doesn't always have to be down low to score the basketball, that allows him to spread the floor a little bit more without the other shooters that we all agree that they need to have on that roster to make a prolonged run to the NBA Finals. There's no doubt that has to happen. But it's not like you have like a Simmons and a B kind of conversation where they all need to occupy the same airspace on the floor to succeed. I don't think you have that problem with the three of them in L.A. And I think that's a big reason why L.A. did not include Kuzma in those conversations. But I think you do yourself a disservice if you don't give him the credit, Kuzma that is, what he's shown in his first couple of years for the Lakers as a third wheel to those two. He's no doubt the third wheel to those two. But if you have AD and you say, okay, I get a LeBron James, and I'm definitely, you know, 1A to 1B or whatever you want to call it, but I have another young buck here that can also get his own shot and help me out in Kyle Kuzma to where I'm not in the wrong where everything revolves around me, it's most definitely not a pressure pack situation for AD, so to speak. I really don't think so.
West Coast, I can care less, huh?
Well,
it's true.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, but he's a distant third wheel. You know, he's a role player, but he's solid. But, you know, like Robert said, if they don't bring in two or three people that can really, you know, hit those open jump shots and, you know, all that, but, you know, they're still going to struggle. They've got two great players, but, you know, we'll see what they bring around them. As far as coaching, I don't know much about this coach either. Is he that pedigree coach? No, he's not.
Yeah. Frank Vogel. I mean, everybody, so much drama for L.A., man. It's like so much drama in the LBC. I love it, man.
No, we're going to have a bet.
L.A. got rid of a big loud mouth.
Thank you.
Person.
Thank you.
That was on that team.
Yes.
I think that's going to do.
Yeah.
I think that might do wonders. I think that might do wonders down there. And
I think
New Orleans is a big enough town that he's not going to be that that loud mouth in New Orleans. Like, because, you know, New Orleans is about jazz and good food and not a fool. So I think he's gonna be in the shadows down in New Orleans, but having that big mouth in L.A., sometimes having the biggest mouth in L.A. works.
We're gonna have a bet, and I will bet everybody on this show, nothing crazy, you know, like a friendly bet, like $1, $5 bet on a baseline for what we think Kyle Kuzma is gonna happen this year before the season starts. And one that we can all agree on, since everybody is poo-pooing me on Kyle Kuzma's effect on this roster.
I'm not poo-pooing you.
I'm not gonna undersell that. So when we get closer to the season and the roster starts to flush itself out for LA, I want us all to get on the show and agree to a baseline for Kyle Kuzma. And I will bet 1-on-4 of what it would do, and we'll see how it plays out.
I'm not in this. What are you talking about? I'm just here, man. I'm a fan. So you fucking just with me, man. 1-on-4.
You was laughing, so I'm putting you into it.
I was laughing. I ain't gonna lie about that. I thought it was a good comment.
Oh,
I wasn't talking junk, man. Look, Gary said he was a 1-on-4.
My problem. My problem with Kyle Kuzma.
I like Kuzma.
My problem with Kyle Kuzma is I don't think Kyle Kuzma is as good as the young players that they have in Denver, and I don't think he's as good as the young players they have in Dallas.
Oh my God!
I really don't.
Yeah, we're gonna find out.
Yeah. So
Carlson's still out there.
They're gonna have to do better than Cal Kuzma being. He may not be the third wheel when they're done.
That's crazy.
I mean, I think Kuzma is a good player. I think Kuzma is a good player. I mean, I followed him since he was in college, and I think he's definitely a solid basketball player, and he's going to be a contributor on that Lakers basketball team. And until we see who else the Lakers bring in, he's definitely their third best player on the roster, hands down.
Yes.
He can step out and hit the three. He's a solid basketball player. And I knew when they drafted him that was a steal for the Lakers and where they got him at the draft in the 20s, based on what I saw him do in college and based on what I saw him doing the college combines as well. So, yes, do I think he's an all-star? No. Do I think he's a fringe player that can really help any basketball team in the league? Absolutely. So he's definitely a really good basketball player. He's just not an all-star. I don't know if I foresee him being an all-star, but I could see him being that fringe guy that can give you 16-8 or 16-9 a night in the NBA going forward in his career.
The Hawks had 4 all-stars a couple years ago. Kyle Korver was an all-star for the Hawks. That's a real statement. They have 4 all-stars in the Eastern Conference that year. I mean, I'm not saying he's going to be an all-star, but he can be a fringe all-star.
But the East was horrible.
We can have a conversation when all the chips are down, when everybody's filled up their rosters before the team starts, and we can come to a baseline and we agree that Kyle Kuzma is going to hit, and I think he's going to meet or exceed that expectation. I really do. I think Kyle Kuzma is more of a stud than y'all give him credit for. I was the same one that was Kyle Murray that took Portland to 7 games, and y'all didn't think it was going to go to 7 games.
Like Kuzma. Stop it.
That's me.
Hey,
because I remember Gary told me that Murray was not going to be a deciding factor in that series. And they went 7 games with him being the starting point guard, and they took Portland to 7 games. So. Okay.
All right. Well, we got you. Hey, really quick, fam friends, really quick, America. It looks like we have done our job. We're going to talk about the NBA draft recap in the OT portion. So, again, way to keep you guys on your toes and to make you tune in and down to the podcast. Rob, we got a minute set up for the OT portion.
Ladies and gentlemen, we thank you for tuning in to our live portion. The NBA draft is still going on. We're going to be right into here just shortly into the OT portion. So to get our draft coverage. Unfortunately, we're not going to give you that portion of the show live, so click on the same link in the next couple of days. Click on it as early as tomorrow. You can get our draft comments from the NBA draft tonight. So we look forward to hearing from you on that front. Once again, we'll be back on the air next week. We'll be back on the air on Tuesday night. Once again, we'll be back on the air on Tuesday night next week, and that's going to be at 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. We're going to be back on air on Tuesday night. And right now we're giving you our Thursday night special. So once again, thank you all for tuning in. And we will be back on front here on Tuesday night next week. Good night, people.
10 seconds.
Yeah, they got me fired up, America, about Kyle Kuzma. I believe in you, Kyle. You need to send me an autographed jersey because I'm the only one holding you down out here like in these streets. So, hey, I appreciate everybody for listening to the show. Please stay tuned to the OT portion so we talk about the NBA draft. I love all my folks on the call. It's all productive banter, and I love it. Let's keep it moving.
I'm a fan of Kuzma. I don't know what the hate is, man. I'm right there with you, bro. Come on.
No, I just told you. I thought he was a nice fringe player.
Yeah, see,
like,
whatever.
Robbie throwing like backhanded compliments, but I think he's a
nice fringe player. Like he ain't good, but he all right. You know what I'm saying? Like,
just beneath an all star. That's a good 10, 12, 14 year NBA career. He's just beneath being an all star. That's what I was saying. He's gonna give you 16-9, 17-10.
Like I said, he ain't shit, but he all right.
Yeah. Let's talk about.
I think that's better.
About,
yeah, he all right.
Yeah. Let's talk about really quickly the Warriors and Nisman. You know, obviously, for wifey man, I know we're going through it, man. It's all good. It's all good. Congrats to Toronto. Obviously, it was good to see Kawhi get that. And again, you got to be the champs. Now they went through like a lot of. Anyway, so. Did they handle the injury to KD properly is the question. And I think it's interesting because I think if the Warriors would have been up, I don't think KD actually plays. So, again, that's a whole other conversation. Mm-hmm. So I think because the Warriors are kind of going through all that, then I think KD actually probably pushed himself. And then the Dodgers are like, yeah, he's kind of cool to play. And they don't want to probably come out and say that. But I do think it does depend on what happens in that series. And obviously, so it doesn't look like that it was handled properly. But I just think that's kind of like it happens. And unfortunately, that whole injury has changed the dynamic of the whole league next year. So that's my thought on that, too. So what say you about that, JQ?
Well, I'm not one of those people that put on the Warriors, to be honest with you. I mean, we've looked at the NBA and being a players' league, and the players have basically taken these kind of decisions into their own hands of can I play and should I not play. This is a KD decision. KD said, I want to play. I'm trying to get this three-peat. At the end of the day, he has the ultimate last say on his body, and he decided to come back and play, and it didn't work out for him. I admire his heart and his tenacity for trying to get back and say, you know what, even down 3-1, I still feel like we can come back and I can make this happen. He decided to play, and it cost him a year of playing basketball. But I think everybody understands how good KD is, and he's still going to get multiple teams, maybe teams that he doesn't really want to go play for because they're going to be terrible. But they will still give him a max contract. So I don't think he's going to lose money. And let's just be real about it. He can opt in to $31 million next year just to rehab for Golden State?
Yeah, 30 cents a
month. So he's not – I'm not going to cry for him. Like, he's going to get $31 million. At the end of the day, if he doesn't do anything else but opt into his contract, he's going to get $31 million to rehab his leg. So he still got some money out of it, but I admire his desire to try to go get another title. But I'm not going to really put on the words because he could say, you know what, I'm still not right. My leg still doesn't feel right. I'm just unable to play because I feel like I can make it worse. So he decided to keep playing, and he made it worse, and that happened. But – again, I admire his, you know, like for the pun, his warrior mentality of I want to try to go get another title and make it a three-peat. I'm not hating on that.
Three-peat? Rob?
No, I personally think that, you know, Rob. Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Finish up. He started it. Go ahead.
Okay. I think that he definitely – he came in on his own free will. He probably felt fine but game time's different, and it was just a freak thing that he re-injured himself, but he wanted that three-peat. He wanted to be that guy again, you know, because if the situation where he didn't get hurt and they won that game and they took it to 7 and beat that team, then I think in his mind he probably thought, well, hey, now I'm the MVP again. I got 3 MVPs. Is that my team now? Is it my team? Because if it's my team, I'll stay with you guys. He doesn't want to be second fiddle either. I feel bad for the guy that he got injured the way he did and how it happened. But you know, that's also part of the game. That's,
I think one of the things that the NBA has to look at, okay, I heard something like, because the Warriors were in, what, six finals in a row, and they played almost close to 500 more games than anybody else besides LeBron. LeBron ran into the same thing, going 82-game season and then going all the way into June playing basketball. Mm-hmm. And I think what happened to Golden State and something the NBA has to look at, and I know the players and the Players Association do not want to shorten that season because they equate a shortened season to a pay cut.
Money.
Like a players league, and I'm not really sure about that, but for bodies, health, and not having what happened this year with Golden State, and, you know, KD wasn't the only injury. And that whole nucleus of that team was breaking down all over the place. And, yes, they have been in a bunch of runs late into June over the last 5 and 6 years, just like LeBron did.
Yep.
Yeah. KD is a competitor. You got to look at that, too. And obviously they were down 3-1 in that series, and he was trying to see if he can lift that ball club up and give them an opportunity to possibly come back and win that series. So obviously, you know, hindsight is 20/20, and it's easy to second guess the decision right now because of what happened, what transpired, you know, with the injury. Now I will say this: that's a tough injury to come back from. And you probably will see Klay Thompson come back sooner than Kevin Durant as a result, you know, the Achilles injury. And like I said, hindsight is 20/20. I think Golden State does have some guilt. The organization, I believe, does have some guilt about allowing him to play in that game. And if you're KD, he talked about opting in. Opting in only guarantees him 1 year of money. When all the money in the NBA is guaranteed, he is going to opt out because he knows somebody's going to give him a 4 or 5 year deal where all that money is guaranteed. So whatever he's going to make next year, another team's going to give him a 3, 4, or 5 year contract, or even go to the league's going to give him that money. So he's going to opt out to assure himself at least $100 to $200 million as opposed to just the money he would make next year opting in, and which would be smart on his part. You know, from a guaranteed dollar standpoint.
But the thing about it that KD is in a different realm of conversation. He can opt in for $31 million and rehab and make that $31 million and then be a free agent and still sign another four-year deal and still make the same money
exactly
you're talking
right.
about. So that might be the optics for a different kind of player. But for Kevin Durant, he's going to get that money regardless. So it's about familiarity.
Yep.
If you trust that Golden State staff and say, you know what, we all felt like I was good. I thought I was good. I decided to play, and I got hurt again. But you know, if you're a middle or small tier free agent and you want to do that, right? You're going to opt out to do that. But if you're going to make 31, Kevin Durant, we're talking about Kevin Durant. If he rehabs and they show him running on the treadmill and swimming and acting a fool while he's making $31 million opting in, and you know that he's going to come back that next year and Golden State has paid all this money this year, and he could still be a free agent. Why would you, as another team, want to sign up for 4 or 5 years right now? Let him opt in and do that and see how he progresses, because they're still going to feel like he's Kevin Durant, and I'm still going to throw a boatload of money at him. He's going to get that money regardless. So we're talking about apples and oranges, really.
Yeah, but I think what you got to think about, and plus Kevin Durant is coming off a major injury this year too, you got to look at, you know, what is his contract next year, $31 million?
Yeah.
All right.
That's if he opts in, he's guaranteed $31 million. If he opts out and signs a 5-year $200 million, he's guaranteed $200 million. So I understand what you're saying, but as far as from a risk standpoint and the injury standpoint at his career, it's better off to have a guaranteed $200 million than to have a guaranteed $31 million. And
he's
so from that standpoint,
though. JQ's right.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, but what if he have another major injury? What if he has another major injury? You protect yourself by getting the long-term contract.
He's going to get $30
million. $31 million. Okay. He's not going to get the $200 million deal if he opts in and he has a setback. So if there are teams out there that's going to give him the long-term money now, you get the money now. I mean, Chipper Jones and Bobby Abear had this conversation. I was living back in Atlanta at the time. Chipper Jones, Bobby Hebert, I think, has got a short-term contract with the Falcons, and Chipper Jones got a long-term contract with the Braves. He says, Bobby, I can bat 110 for the next 10 years, and I'm guaranteed this money. And Bobby Hebert was like, well, only a portion of mine is guaranteed. So you're talking about $200 million guaranteed versus $31 million guaranteed. You get the money.
That's kind of like apples and oranges, like you were saying, but like I see what you're saying too. Because again, not to cut you off, JQ, but like you said, Kevin Durant's gonna get his money. He's not gonna get I don't think he's gonna get $200 million in the second contract. He's gonna get at least $150 million, but at least he's gonna get money this year too. So it's crazy. So he's still gonna get something. I don't think he's the same player after his injury, no matter what you say, Rob. I mean, he's not gonna get that big deal. He's not getting the max 5-year 200 something. He's probably gonna get a little under that. So, again, get your money now. Get your money in the back end, too. You're not going to get that max 200, if you will. So, it's the best of both scenarios.
And here's the other piece of that, though. Here's the other piece of that. You opt in to Golden State. You're still opting in to Golden State to where, depending on what they happen with Draymond Green's contract and Klay Thompson's contract, you feel like you're opting into a winning organization. Yeah, he's probably going to opt out and go to another organization. And rehab for a year and say, we'll take this year hit. But you do that for the Knicks or the Nets, and then you're looking after that for that first year, and now you're looking at the New York Knicks or the Nets saying, well, where are we as a basketball organization? I've taken this money and I've got it all guaranteed. Well, can I really win a championship now? Now I think Kevin Durant, after he gets done with this injury, he'll be, 32? Just coming off this injury? So what does he do now when he goes to one of these other teams that might be a lesser team giving him all this money saying, you know what? We're trying to make a splash. We'll still give you that money, bro. We know you hurt. We'll give you that money. That's all guaranteed. But for Kevin Durant, I feel like it's also the money and the ability to win championships. Opting in to Golden State, opting in to another winning organization with winning talent that's already there, trying to stay there. And then you say, oh, you know what? I'm going to take another year just to delay this process. The same thing we're talking about right now can happen next year. And he can have another opportunity to go to another team. But if he decides now to opt out and go somewhere else and be hurt for a year, and they basically say you got a redshirt year, you're going to a team that's always trying to build around you, and you're convincing other free agents to come to build around you. So you're going to a lesser destination to build around you, and other free agents are saying, man, is Kevin Durant going to be the same? And as an organization, I'm going to pay you, but do other free agents view you the same way? So when you're at home in terms of Golden State and you're saying, okay, I've got Steph and I've got Klay and Draymond and they're all talking about staying here, I might feel better about opting in and see how that plays out as opposed to opting out and signing with the Knicks and saying, okay, the Knicks have, Dennis Smith Jr. and Knox and R.J. Barrett. Are they enough after a year of me getting ready to be able to win the championship? I mean, I feel like he's still going to get that money either way this year or next year. So might as well get that $31 million and delay their decision and see where all the other teams are in the landscape of the NBA in terms of competitiveness and win an NBA title versus just saying it's strictly about money. That's why I say that he should opt in.
All right, all good. All right.
Now, I'm not saying if he should not take the long-term contract from Golden State, but I think if he's smart, his best decision would be to take the long-term contract now to protect himself.
Yeah. Well, we see both sides.
Yeah.
So,
regardless of what team that's from.
If you opt in, and you're terrible, now you're guaranteed to the Knicks for another 4 years, right? After the rehab, now you're guaranteed to the Knicks for another 4 years.
They're paying you.
You got paid, but the Knicks are still the Knicks, and you might suck when you come back.
Well, then sign a long-term deal with the Warriors if he's worried about that.
Yeah. Well, that's going to happen no matter what.
Valid point.
It's all about that, too.
That's a valid point.
Hey, let's finally, before we
Okay, so if KD signs with the Warriors for a one-year deal,
while he's rehabbing. Can they shop him?
Mm-hmm.
Can they shop him out and say, hey, we want to trade him away?
Yeah.
That's what I would be worried. I would be worried if I were KD, knowing that they know I'm going to go. They know what's going on behind closed doors, the little comments or whatever it is, you know, I'm out of here, you know, under his breath, under the locker room, whatever, to, you know, confidential conversations between players. Hey, look, it's not working out for me here. So I would be afraid that if I were KD to take that money, I would be afraid to take that money and then and not have the option to go into the team that I want to have that team trade me away to a team.
But you still
what do you guys think on that?
But you can still do that, because if you sign in for this 1 year, you're an unrestricted free agent after this next year. So while you can't play while you're rehabbing, if they trade you to freaking Sacramento or Phoenix, you're like, this sucks. But I can't play any year anyway. But after this year, I become an unrestricted free agent. I can go anywhere I want to.
Oh,
so you're not beholden to that team. That team would be crazy to trade for you in a 1 year deal. So if they decide to do that, that's their risk for you walking away for nothing, right? So so he doesn't have that kind of I can't opt in, because if you trade me, then I'm beholden to this team for 4 or 5 years because I'm only on a 1 year deal, right? So that's where he's still golden in the fact that I'm rehabbing. I can come back stronger than ever, get $32 million from Golden State or whoever they trade me to, and in the next summer we talk about this on this podcast. Now he's an unrestricted free agent. He can go anywhere he wants to. You know what I'm saying? So you don't have that kind of worry.
Yeah, okay. All right, let's finally get to Rob and the recap of the draft here before we go too late. I know it's East Coast, and we'll kind of wrap this up too, but we got about 15 minutes hopefully here, and let's let Rob do finally a recap of his favorite player, Zion Williamson from Duke. Go ahead, Rob.
Let's go, Rob.
Well, obviously, when you look at the draft tonight, obviously at the top, few surprises. We all know who 1-3 was going to be, and I think the first big surprise was Orlando at 16 taking Chuma Okeke. I had him going in the second round. The guy just tore his ACL in the NCAA tournament, and that was a big surprise for them to take him that high at number 16. So that was the first big surprise of the draft for me. Just some other highlights. I thought that was a big reach by the Orlando Magic. So I mean, they get a big fat F when it comes to me. Obviously, the Pelicans against Zion Williamson, Jackson Hayes, guy who I think could be somewhat of a Tyson Chandler-type player in his prime, a rim protector, a shot blocker, good player there. And Nickeil Alexander-Walker, the guy I'm really high on. The Pelicans picked at 17, a score, can get it on the defensive end as well. So a really good draft, obviously, for the Pelicans. And you got to like what the Hawks did in the draft, too. DeAndre Hunter, Pelicans would have stayed at 4, a guy I would absolutely love to get. I think probably has the potential to be the best defender in this draft.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a spot-up shooter. If he can improve handling the basketball and creating his own shot, you got yourself a really stud there. And you got to remember, Kawhi Leonard coming out of college was a spot-up shooter, really good defender. Couldn't really handle the basketball, but he improved to be a complete basketball player. I think DeAndre Hunter has that kind of potential. He's got a 7'2" wingspan at 6'7".
You can only hope.
He's a guy that I know a lot of people say this is a 3-player draft. I mean, I really, really like DeAndre Hunter's potential to possibly make this even a 4-player draft with Hunter. And obviously, the Hawks saw that too, and moved up in the draft. And even gave up the first-round pick from the Cleveland Cavaliers next year. They sent that to the Pelicans. So, and that's an unprotected draft pick. So, obviously, if you're a Pelicans fan, you're going to root for the Cavs to have a horrible year to get that high draft pick next year that Atlanta gave. So, I mean, those are two teams. In Cleveland, you know, a lot of people, you know, they took Darius Garland. At number 5, Dylan Windler, and I really like Kevin Porter Jr. I mean, they took a lot of guys you know, that are guards, and they have the kid from Alabama who they picked on last year as well. Yeah, and, but I think it's a positionless basketball game right now, so I really like the pick of them getting Darius Garland at number 5 and making that bold pick as well. So I really like what they did in the draft. And you guys have mentioned in Portland, Nasir Little. I mean, getting him that late in the draft, too, I think is a steal, too, at number 25. And he's a guy that's a very good athlete, can run the floor like a deer. But he's got to take 1,001 jump shots this summer, every single day. He has got to improve that jump shot, and he's got to improve his ball handling. And that's why he dropped in the draft, for those two reasons alone. I think he has the potential to be a really good defender, a really good athlete running the floor, and kind of like what you already had with Al-Farouq Aminu. But he has to improve. If he can improve that jump shot and his ball handling ability, he can be a steal in this draft. Getting him at 25. You're talking about this guy was the number 3 rated player coming out of high school just last summer. And so that's a potential steal for the Portland Trail Blazers as well. And interesting picks by Phoenix in this draft, too. They went for a couple of veteran guys, Cameron Johnson from North Carolina, number 11, and Ty Jerome at 24, guard from Virginia. And very good picks. It's just that, you know, in this day and age, every team is going for the potential. And they pick veteran players that had a lot of success in college basketball over the years. Cameron Johnson has really improved. He can run the floor. He's got good size. He can shoot the basketball. Ty Jerome, not a great athlete, but a really smart basketball player. Really good defender as well. Can really pass the ball, distribute the rock as well. So they went for two veterans. Where in this day and age, everybody's going for the young studs. And then you got like what the Spurs did at 29. Getting Keldon Johnson there, I think, was a really good steal for them as well, getting him in that pick. I thought he was somewhere between a 14 to 18 kind of player, and for them to get him at 29 was a really good pick. Getting back to Hawks, Cam Reddish. Okay. Cam Reddish is another guy that has potential to be a really good defender.
Oh my gosh.
If there's anything that worries me about Cam Reddish, you know, he was a top player on his high school team. He went to being the third best player in his college team, and he struggled.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what kind of – he's got to adjust to that, because in the NBA, that's what type of player he's going to be. He's going to be the third, fourth best player on his team at best, and he's got to be able to adjust to that role. And I think he struggled in that role as a freshman at Duke. But his guy has got he has the potential. There's no doubt about it. He definitely has the potential, and he's got to improve his shot-making ability, and he's got to improve his attitude. But the ability is definitely there.
No, I agree with you. And I would touch on your Phoenix part of it. I think what Phoenix said, if they don't go out and make another move for a veteran point guard, what they've said to Devin Booker is, we're paying you this kind of money. Yes, you have the ability to get your own shot off, but you have to be able to prove to us and be on this team to be able to be a forward general. There's no reason why Devin Booker cannot be a point guard in this league. And he basically, to me, when I see
he's
that,
shooter,
how it's worked out for him, he is a shooter. But his ability, he plays some one, he's got to be able to play some more one. What they say is, we're not going to rely on getting another one to play you off the ball. We're going to surround you with more talent, and you're going to have to be able to distribute the ball and be able to shoot the ball the way you know how, and just be able to do basically be Steph Curry. You're a point guard. Yeah, you can shoot the ball, but you're still a point guard. So embrace it. You are a point guard and love it. But we surround you with some players. You still got Justin Jackson, who has showed flashes for Phoenix as well. And you got John Aiton also from last year in the first round pick. So we've given you all this talent around you here, Devin Booker. You need to be able to be the floor general and make this work. I think that's the message, that if I'm looking at it, that Phoenix sent to Devin Booker. But my other team, and I'm not a Hawks fan by any imagination, I live in Atlanta, but Atlanta, you talked about it with Cam Reddish. To me, Cam Reddish is, and they have hired a lot of people from Golden State coming to Atlanta, Cam Reddish is the Klay Thompson to Trae Young, Steph Curry. And I know that's blasphemous, and I'm not saying they're in the same class, so anybody listening to it, relax. That's not what I'm trying to say. But if you're talking about the way that they're building their team,
Trae Young is the point guard with that crazy, ridiculous, range from anywhere and be able to pass the ball and shoot the ball that Trae Young has shown he can do. Now we've given you this guy and Cam Reddish. And you've also gotten, Hunter to be able to lock down, switch pick and rolls, defend.
Best player. Yep.
I feel like they have said, okay, we're giving you your compliment in the backcourt. Maybe you play, Hunter at the three, sometimes at the two. You interchange him and Reddish, because Reddish is a legit, I believe, 6'8", if I'm not wrong, coming out of Duke. So you've got those three guys playing the 1-2 and the three. What Herder, we talked about before, and Gambre and Collins, they have, to me, I watch coming forward, Atlanta, New Orleans, and Phoenix, not three teams that you talk about ready to contend for a title by no stretch of the imagination. But if you have the NBA league pass and you just want to watch an exciting game of basketball, of up and down, young guys running up and down the court, those three teams right there are going to be fascinating to watch. And they're going to give teams all they can handle. They may not win all those games, but those three teams with those young guys that are going to run out on the court with the talents they have are going to be excited to watch. They're going to be those all NBA league pass kind of teams. Like, you know what? I just stumbled upon an Atlanta Hawks game or a Phoenix Suns game or a New Orleans Pelicans game on the Humble and said, wow, these young guys are just running and giving these veteran teams that took that for granted because they're supposed to be bad, everything they could handle. And they might have beat us, but you know what? We made them work and spend a lot of more energy than they decided that they thought they were going to expend when they came into this game to defend us. So I think it just makes the NBA better. But those three teams right there are going to be really fun to watch on NBA League Pass. They're going to be exciting.
Shout out to the Bulls for picking Kobe White. Didn't see that coming again because once it came down and when I saw the fact that I thought he wasn't going to get past Washington, I thought Washington I thought they were going to draft Cam. So the fact that he was still there at 10, he talked about the perfect storm. I'm like, what? You still got him? And then the 34th pick, we went around and get Bruno Fernando. That's I know we actually traded our 2-round picks to get him from Maryland. That's who we wanted to get. So that's the perfect draft for the Hawks. You got two wings, and you miss on one, you get the second. You're not going to miss. And then Rob, I think Cam was hurt. He had he actually had some type of core thing. So that's what they're talking about from this perspective. So he's going to get some. He's going to heal up. He's got 6 weeks or so. He's not going to play in the summer league, but he'll get healed, and that may contribute to him having some challenges and being the third guy. But I think that's kind of what happened. He was hurt through the season. So, again, that's what you're hearing. Also, an interesting note, Bol Bol is actually being traded to the Nuggets. You talk about an interesting scenario. So the Nuggets kind of get that, isn't that interesting? So, again, if that actually goes down, then you talked about Mutombo earlier, if you will, Curtis, that may come back to you. Be like shades of Mutombo back in the day. I mean, he's not like that, but that's just an interesting move for the Nuggets, man.
Nice call.
Then you talk about having Gobert and, man, that's not Gobert. I'm sorry. I'm thinking something about, I apologize. But you know what I'm talking
Jokic.
About. That's a good move. Yeah, Jokic. I'm thinking of. So, man, that's an interesting move, too. So, again, looks like Whiteside didn't have to clean out his locker, JQ. Hey, West Coast, man, really quickly, you guys have anything to add to that? And then we'll let Rob do his kind of wrap up the whole thing for that, too, because I feel the lays going to kick us in at some point, too. So what do you guys talk about as you wrap up the draft for your Trailblazers and stuff?
Well, no, I'm not worried about what the Joe. I was kind of surprised that Rob didn't say anything about Jimmy King from Oregon going 9. I'm not sure where he went to, but I was surprised to see that. And I was surprised to see him coming out. The first thing I was surprised at, I was surprised that he was coming out. And then he to go in the top 10. That wasn't a surprise to you, Rob?
Oh, you talking about Hachimura from Gonzaga?
No, I'm talking about the guy from Oregon that went 9, Jimmy King.
You must have been talking about a draft 15, 20 years ago.
Yeah, well, hold on. Got to get number 9 pick was Rui Hachimura. Was you talking about the second round? Are you talking about what we talking about here?
No, in the first round. Who's the first kid to come from Oregon that came out? I thought I saw.
Bol Bol was the first guy from Oregon that got drafted. He went 44, 45.
Louis King? Where did Louis King come out? Didn't he come out? Where did he come out?
He hasn't been drafted yet.
He has not been drafted. Okay, I'll just...
Yeah, we're checking.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about, but he hasn't been drafted yet. And I look like we only got a few more picks left. But Hachimura is a guy, you know, the guy from Gonzaga, who's from that Pacific Northwest area. Obviously, first Japanese player, first Japanese-born player picked in the NBA. So that's a compelling story there. But this was a guy that at one point people considered to be a top five pick. And he dropped in, a lot of people thought he was going to drop into the teams, but he wound up going to number nine. You know, it's another guy that has a really good potential as well. Solid athlete. He can score from the outside and he can post you up with a 6'8 height. So he's going to be an intriguing player for the Wizards.
It's fun to see him, look at him and to see him talk because he looks black, but he sounds Japanese. And so that was like crazy. Like, what is he saying? Oh, man. That was crazy. he's talking Japanese. Oh, man. Do you have anything else to say with that, Gary? Anything last thing you want to talk about with your Trailblazers or anything? Because we got to wrap up the show here.
Well, you know, we were, you know, that was our weakness was, you know, our wingman and players to go with, you know, the forwards. We want to have a, you know, small forward or power forward, something. That was our weak spot. I think Lil was a good selection for us. Hopefully he'll get that jump shot down. But he's athletic. He's fast. He's a good defender. I'm happy with our pick.
Nice. Okay.
What do you got?
Cool. I thought you said, okay, cool. All right, man, like I said, I cannot be more ecstatic. I know Rob didn't really, you know, I know you talked about, you guys obviously had the first pick, but again, I just can't believe that we had to take on your crazy Solomon Hill, but we'll take that, if you will, if that future second. But then
I think
again,
the trade worked out for both
teams,
actually.
It did work out. We got cash considerations. And I'm just being facetious here. It was a good move. Everything worked out. We helped each other. Surprisingly, that New Orleans and Atlanta could actually agree on something. But
we're not quite rivals in basketball.
I know. I'm just let me just have my little moment here. But it's like I said, for us everything to work out. I'm ecstatic that for us to get three players and three awesome white young players, and we're excited about the future of the team. As JQ said, man, just to watch that, it's not gonna be a boring team at all, man. And I really have high hopes for Cam. Cam Reddish too, man. So that's, I'm still surprised he was there. I mean, I'm like, wow, you got the same guy. We didn't give it the number 10 pick. It was crazy. And you get Bruno. I mean, that's just like a win. So anyway, Rob, if anyone has anything last things, I know it's 12:30. I don't want JQ to get too crazy. I know you've been swimming a long day. So let's go ahead and wrap this up. And hopefully we can get Patrick Beverly some way as a free agent. That's my only wish, man, and call it a day. But all good. Go ahead, Rob.
Well, I, you know, just to piggyback off that for a little bit, I mean, from the Atlanta Hawks perspective, I mean, they're obviously building their team through the draft. Now you have Trae Young, you have Collins, and you go out and get a DeAndre Hunter, and you have Cam Reddish. And I think from the Hawks perspective, and I mean, they moved up to get DeAndre Hunter. That was a big deal. Obviously, they had to give up, next year's first-round pick from the Cavs and also take on a Solomon Hill contract. But sometimes that's the price of moving up. And DeAndre Hunter, like I said, I think has a big future in this league and has potential to be a really good basketball player. And I think from the Pelican standpoint, getting rid of Solomon Hill gives them over $30-something million of cap space. So that gives them an opportunity to either get somebody really good. I mean, obviously, Julius Randle had a big year, had 22 points, 9 rebounds. He gives you a chance and opportunity to re-sign him possibly, or, you know, have that strategy to get a bunch of guys that can come in and fill out your roster with this young team that we have now. So I do think it was a win-win for both teams. I think if you're the Hawks, I don't think you want to break the bank on free agents this year. Next year will be the year when they can possibly add a star to this nucleus that they have. So compete this year with his young roster and maybe get another high pick, and then you have the cap space on next summer to do so. So it's going to be really intriguing. Like I said, I think from an organizational standpoint, I think for both teams, it was a win-win for them in these, with these, the moves that they made tonight. But that being said, we thank you all for tuning in to another great edition of Talking Sports with the 12th Man. As I mentioned, we're going to be back on the air on Tuesday night next week, Tuesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. You don't want to miss it. We will be getting closer and closer to the NBA free agency period, so there will be a lot going on. Maybe we'll dibble and dabble a little baseball, and we're going to start getting into our football predictions here really soon. Good night, people.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I'm just going to depart from that because my Reds swept the Astros over the weekend. We beat the Brewers today. We beat the Rangers before we beat the Astros, so they got five in a row. I just want us to be competitive. I'm loving it. I love baseball. I'm one of those few people that still love baseball out there in the world. So winning five in a row and sweeping the Astros for sure was a big accomplishment for my sorry Reds, and I will take all the small wins where I can get them. And then going into Milwaukee and winning the game tonight, 7-1. Let's go, Reds. Let's make a move for the second wild card spot. Let's go. Those Yankees are ridiculous. I mean, they're getting Stanton and Judge back, and they are just fully loaded. I saw that game for a little bit. Glaber and Cameron Maybin, who woke that guy up? He is killing it for the Yankees. That's just ridiculous. I just can't even put in the words. If you look at his numbers and now what he's doing for the Yankees is just it's stupid.
Yeah.
So I appreciate everybody for listening to the show. Yeah, and hanging out with us, and we'll talk about some free agency here coming up, but I want to get to some more baseball because that's just how I am. And that day, much love to Minneapolis Target Field where the Twins play. I couldn't make it all 17 innings of that game between the Twins and the Red Sox. I capped that up to 13 innings, but it was a fantastic game between Pinata and David Price. And just lucky to be able to be in the building for that one. So everybody that loves sports, I appreciate y'all for listening to us, and we'll talk to you next week, on Tuesday, rather.
Shout out to my Braves for being first place, all that fun stuff, too. And I'm a fan of Kuzma. I'm a song.
Let's go, yay.
Come on, bro. Braves, man, we're doing our thing, man. Hey, guys, it's been a fun time. West Coast, appreciate
you guys enjoying,
as always, man. Good, good.
Yeah, enjoy these long days. Today and tomorrow are going to be the two longest days of the year. Here in Portland, we're getting light before 5 o'clock, and we're getting dark after 9:30. Man,
nice.
I think I love that. That's my favorite time of year, boy, when you have this much sunlight out. Great day.
Yeah, because we know in the winter the sun will come out almost 8 a.m. in Portland.
Hey. Shout out to all
the
sun.
What sun?
Yeah, what sun? There you go.
No.
What? Man, we're keeping it going. Gentlemen, you guys have been fantastic, man. Don't get too much crazy sun, too, man. Use some vitamin D. Gentlemen, have a great week. I'm sure we'll be conversating via the text or something, and we'll keep an eye on the draft grades, and we'll kind of do a recap next week, as Rob talked about, as far as everything, your thoughts. And we'll get ready for Summer League and all that fun stuff too, man. So, again, it's been fun. Gentlemen, have a great, great week. Don't get in too much trouble, especially you, Rob. Peace out, guys.
Thank you.
Peace out. Good night. Good night.